excuse me, I should probably not drink this beer while we record either.
God damn it. Right? The last one that I edited, you hiccup like every time you talk.
Yeah, it checks out. Between the stuff we did prep and then just ambient knowledge about the stuff, we should have plenty to say.
Ambient knowledge is my favorite, NESED.
Damn, that was good.
Would have been better if I could have remembered Enya a little bit faster, but...
That's not who I thought you were going for. I thought it was going to be, like, fucking SoundCloud rapper or something.
Nah.
Ambient
sail
knowledge.
Sail away.
That's really good. My favorite Vaporwave album. All right, Caitlin, you're driving this speed...
Driving this...
Wreck boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, this boat. How did you know I was going to say boat?
Speeding wreck boat.
Hi, and welcome to Brought to the Table. This week, we don't have everyone. We have... a sandwich, me, we have Carter, and we have Scott, and neither of them get last names this week because they don't deserve it and they know what they did. This is a show for this group of friends to come together and share things that they find fun, relevant, or otherwise interesting. We have one group today, and it's these chuckleheads, and I am a freeloader. They are going to educate me and you, our listener, the most important member of this team, about
other than the
keyboards?
Sandwich?
Other than the sandwich. About keyboards, mechanical and otherwise, I believe.
Not really otherwise, no.
All right, hey, just mechanical.
Real quick. I don't know what I did to lose my last name privileges. Would you elaborate?
That's not something we can legally say on podcast air. The National Consortium of Podcast Enthusiasts, Creators, and Listeners will come and lock us up.
Wait, are you telling me that there's enthusiasts that aren't listeners? They're just like, yeah, abstractly? Love that.
What do you think I am?
All right, you know what? Fuck, I've been had.
Yeah, that's it.
Damn, that was really good.
You have to leave the bathhouse, obviously.
The what?
The what?
Bathhouse? You have to leave the bathhouse.
What fucking bathhouse am I in?
Is this the chopped bathhouse?
Yeah, the chopped one.
Is this what they're baking in the Great British Bake Off?
No, it's a Spirited Away reference.
All right, so this joke went off the rails really fast.
Ruby on Rails? No, that's something totally different.
It is a thing.
That's a thing, yeah.
Buzzword approved. Caitlin, you have the job.
All right. So yeah, we're talking
lead
about mechanical. Let me lead us in. Yeah, I was just gonna. Yeah, go for it.
All right. Somebody was talking, and now they've stopped. So.
Lead us in.
Shut up.
Today.
Please lead us in.
Today we're gonna start by talking about my notes say my chemical cheese boards.
Good.
Today we're gonna start by talking about mechanical keyboards, which. If you are a filthy keyboard casual, or as most people would call them, a normal person,
mm-hmm.
They are keyboards with actual mechanical switches in them, and they're usually really clicky and annoying, so you might have a coworker who has one.
And you might hate that coworker.
You might love them.
You might.
Yeah.
You might have a torrid affair with them.
You might not.
You might have a Jim and Pam situation going on.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
So your typical keyboard... comes with a your typical keyboard is membrane with domes. They have little dome shaped switches in them. You can take some of the keys off your keyboard and look for yourself. Hopefully they come off easily and you can put them back on easily. Otherwise you've just fucked up your keyboard.
Wait, let me check.
No, don't.
In real time.
In real time, fucking up keyboards.
Yeah. Okay, I did it.
All right, cool.
So you see like a little kind of rubbery, plasticky, membrane-style thing.
I do.
And it's got a little dome on it.
I do. And well, this one has my dome is square, but I don't think that's going to cause a problem for anyone.
No, that's fine. You usually have, like, the computer circuit board on the bottom, and so the domes make it bounce up and down and give you feedback as you type, but when you press them down, it makes contact. Circuit board detects that you're typing something. Mm-hmm. Mechanical keyboards are kind of the same model. You have something that's springy and gives you feedback, but the thing that is like connecting to the circuit board is a real mechanical switch that usually have springs in them. Like and they have metal contact that is actually making the switch work. If you're curious how these came to be, direct attach keyboards are pretty new in the history of things you can talk about. Like,
is direct attach keyboard the keyboard I have?
A keyboard that is plugged into your computer.
Yeah.
That's essentially keyboards as we see them. Yes. Like, on the whole, your keyboard, my keyboard.
As opposed to typewriters?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Typewriters and other computer inputs.
Yeah, other computer inputs. Touch screens would notably switches. Not fall in this category.
So. Touch screens. Touch screens are older than keyboards. Fun fact.
Are they?
No.
I don't know.
So I have an interesting thing about that, but I don't want to talk about it right now.
Anyways.
I was lying.
You weren't lying as much as you think you were.
Anyways, so, you know, keyboards only really start dating back to personal computers. The first thing that looks like a real personal computer is probably only in the 70s. And starting kind of in the 70s to 80s, the good keyboards that people wanted to use, from mostly made by IBM, are these buckling spring keyboards that have like a very noticeable like clack, and they have, you know, springs in them that are, they have like a very unique touch feel to them. So modern mechanical keyboards kind of try to emulate that, because as they are able to make better and better keyboards, they're able to make nice cheap keyboards, and they kind of all settled on this membrane dome style. So modern mechanical keyboards are trying to be more similar to these buckling spring keyboards, although they're not the same. Fun fact, people still like try and buy vintage IBM keyboards and plug them into real computers now. But the kind of benefits that people who buy mechanical keyboards are looking for are, they give the better tactile feedback, so it's not just kind of like pressing into a piece of rubber like a rubber band. It's got an actual click to it, so when you've actually pressed down the key, it makes a clicking sound, or it at least has a little bump in it. There's all different types of switches that you can put in there that actually give you different feedback. I think most common is switches are made by Cherry. You can find them if you just Google mechanical keyboard. You'll find like Cherry MX Blue switches, which are your typical, once you've pressed it halfway down, it is actuated and you've pressed the key and it makes a clicky sound. Cherry MX Brown, same thing, except it's just bumpy. It doesn't make an audible click, but you can feel it click. Red is linear.
That sounds satisfying.
Yeah, there's no bump at all. The only thing you feel is when the plastic hits the bottom of the keyboard. There are other colors for different types of feels. Most of them are in those three categories, like clicky, bumpy, or linear, but some of them have different actuation force. Like if you're a really heavy typer, you can get one that has more force, so on and so forth.
Now, what's the mouthfeel of these different colors?
Nope.
Bad. Bad, really bad. I do want to say though, when Scott's talking about blues and browns and reds, and those are specific like manufacturer designations. Yes. From Cherry. Like Cherry is the largest manufacturer of mechanical switches.
By a super large margin.
Yeah, by huge margin. And so all of these designations generally apply or do apply to Cherry. And if you're looking at other switches from other companies, you will generally be able to find some sort of review, or even like the manufacturer will be like, this is an analogous switch to Cherry Blues.
Yes.
And I have two questions.
Go.
One, is this related to the whole 2.5A presses thing?
No.
No.
Okay. Two, should I have brought my grandparents down here since they were old school techies?
Maybe.
The answer is also maybe. No to this, but it might have been interesting.
Yeah.
It might have been. Well, I think... Go ahead.
I mean, we were just talking about like how they're kind of clicky, like old-style keyboards, and some people might find that annoying. But the sound that most people don't like is not actually the clickiness of the switch. It's because people don't understand mechanical keyboards, and they press the keys all the way down. So you basically have the plastic of the key hitting the plastic or metal of the bottom of the keyboard, and that is a very loud clacking sound. You can solve this pretty easily by getting little rubber rings that you put in the bottom of your keys that make it stop bottoming out. But it changes the feel a lot. You can also just learn how to type lightly, which is fun, but maybe not super practical unless you're like a typing nerd.
So it's actually very interesting. I own a keyboard with Cherry Browns in it, which if you recall are the ones that when you depress it, do have like a tactile click to them, but do not make an audible click, or at least it's a much, much quieter one. And my keyboard has the O-rings in it. And like when I first put it in, like I was still bottoming out, but because there's the O-ring in there, you don't bottom out against the bottom of the keyboard. it's really when the O-ring hits another piece of plastic in there. And so it's a much softer feeling. It's very weird. It's much more reminiscent of a membrane keyboard than I think I would like. Mm-hmm. But it definitely, for things like streaming video games and even just being on our chat applications, you know, it makes it much easier for people to not have to listen to my keyboard bottom out, at least as badly.
What color O-rings do you have? Do you have blue or red?
Red.
Okay, yeah. I mean, there are also different color O-rings that determine their thickness, basically, and how much dampening you get. I don't know. I actually like typing with O-rings better than not, because it reminds me that I'm bottoming out, and that's not good for my fingers.
Interesting.
As somebody who has to type for a living, I actually care about my fingers and wrists, which we'll talk about later when we talk about keyboard layouts. But the cool stuff about mechanical keyboards that I like really like is not really the mechanical switch part. It's more that they are just high-end keyboards, and they kind of have a culture of customizability. The keycaps are easily removable, which is why I talked about removing your keycaps and looking at your own keyboard. You can change them whenever, however you want. You can design a custom keycap set, like Carter has a keyboard with custom keycaps on it. Then you print on them images. Usually they have cool layouts or different sizes than your typical 100 key keyboard. Like if you have a keyboard with a numpad, I haven't had a keyboard with a numpad in like 7 years.
It's got to be less than that, because I got my keyboard from you and it has a numpad.
I had that in my closet because I had my MX Red keyboard.
All right, I've been played. I've been had.
Yeah, that's why I gave it to you, because I already had this one.
Got him.
Yeah, that was numpad, my last keyboard.
Numpad is the like the calculator shaped set of keys on the right side. A lot of laptops don't have them. A lot of full-size keyboards, well, that's what makes it a full-sized keyboard, is having a numpad on the right. Otherwise, it's not considered full-size.
Basically, the first computer I ever used and used for like many years was a laptop without a numpad. And I hate having numpads now, because it makes your hands far apart. And that is actually, like, it's actually bad for ergonomics. If you care about things like that, it makes your arms farther apart. I type on a 60% keyboard at work, which basically, if you look at your keyboard and you take like the little tilde key in the top left below escape, and then the bottom right control key just before you get to the arrow keys, and just cut that diagonal rectangle shape, that is a 60% keyboard. So that's what I type on normally.
I have a fun fact about numpads. My techie grandmother, who I just referenced, was very worried about me being too slow of a typer, so she did make me take a computer course over the summer, 1 year in middle school.
Oh, not anyway. The summer.
this past year. Caitlin, you have an adult job, but go learn how to type faster. And anyway, I already did know how to type pretty well, so they just immediately put me to, like, doing the weird stuff at the back of the book.
like what? What weird like, stuff?
Like using the numpad. Anyway, so now I'm very comfortable with using numpads, and it's like, I don't know, I've time traveled. Yeah. A skill I will never need.
So yeah, I use a numpad on my keyboard here at home, and I actually don't use it for numbers. I kind of wish I did, because I do like using it for actual numbers, but I actually just map a lot of hotkeys on my computer for it. So I have one to start my Twitch stream. I have one to mute myself in Discord. I have one to deafen everybody else in Discord so that I don't have to hear their nonsense. So like there's a bunch of hotkeys just on my numpad.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just like
I want one of those. I want like a keyboard hotkey extension that I can put on the left side, so my hands aren't farther apart.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Yeah.
I mean, I just want to say like mechanical keyboards are usually higher quality keyboards. They're designed for, not gonna say longevity, but for like nice feeling of use. The switches in them are rated like order of magnitude higher lifetime than your typical $20 Dell keyboard. Like tens of millions of key presses. So my recommendation is mechanical keyboards are usually pretty expensive because they're high quality. If you're not going to appreciate it, don't buy one. If you are a keyboard nerd or you type a lot and you just think it might be interesting to try, do research on switch types. Be appreciative of people who are going to be around you if you have, I don't know, college dorm roommates in the same room. Cherry are the main ones, and you can find reviews of them, but you also can find exotic type switches as well. If you are hesitant, my recommendation is Brown, Cherry MX Brown or equivalent. Because the bump is pretty good and they're not annoying. Reds are really satisfying once you get used to them, but you have to get used to them.
Yeah. Reds, I have browns here, like I said before, and they're really satisfying to type on. But I think it's very interesting to see the type of person that generally gets into mechanical keyboards, because to me they kind of fall into three categories, two of which kind of overlap. Or I would imagine they fall into three categories, but really there's only two. So the first, which myself and Scott fall into, is software programmers. So we type a lot.
Nerds.
Yeah, essentially. No, but like that's a real thing that I'm getting into. So software engineers like traditionally make a fair amount of money. And like Scott said, mechanical keyboards are pretty expensive. And so like a little bit more disposable income, you know, can afford you some things like this, which can be really nice, especially because it's something that can be really beneficial towards our job and can really make it just much smoother for us to do our day-to-day business.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, also you can potentially have like your office buy you one if you actually have, if you're worried about RSI or, you know, just wrist pain.
Yeah, precisely. So the second category of people, which overlaps heavily with the first one, is people who play video games on PC, specifically like first-person shooters, or have a pretty big following with mechanical keyboards. And specifically, like Scott said, you know, typing with browns and blues are very satisfying. People who play first-person shooters and even like MOBAs and real-time strategy games will prefer to use cherry reds because they intend to bottom out their keys and they don't want any added resistance when they're doing that. So pretty much every professional gamer that I've ever like looked at, you know, what keyboard they have, almost every single one has cherry reds in them. Some of them have cherry blacks, which are the same linear depression style, but instead they they're just heavier to push. Yeah. But most of them have reds, and it's a very interesting overlap because a lot of, you know, PC gamers are also software developers. Like, it's a pretty heavily overlapped category.
Yeah, or it might be the other way around. A lot of software developers are also gamers.
Yeah, yeah, you get the idea, though.
Yes. I also wanted to say, like, on that, it's kind of different how you're using the keyboard in both cases. Like, if you're typing, your hands are above the keyboard usually, and you're moving around and, like, kind of, you know, like, pointing at keys and pressing them down. When you're gaming, usually you have your fingers already stuck on, like, a specific position on the keyboard, like WASD or something, and you're kind of just pushing down slightly when you're moving around, and you're hitting the same keys over and over again. So that's kind of
bingo.
Where it's much better to have a key that doesn't like get in your way mm-hmm. as much. Mm-hmm. Like with blues, you press them down and like you have to feel the spring kind of push it back up, and it goes through like an unlatching motion. Reds is kind of just up, down, up, down. That's it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of resistance there, and it's a very simple thing. Like, this doesn't seem very big. You know, these are very minute details, so, like, if you didn't have the money and you weren't paying attention, you know, like this isn't something that you need to care about. You know, this is something that people who want to care about it will care about, you know? And so that actually brings me to my kind of final point here, is that I expected a third set of people who care for mechanical keyboards would be writers. You know, like people who write for a living, whether that be, you know, like fiction or whether like be textbooks or something, you know, people who write all day, every day. And I was talking to some people and I was asking around, and as far as I can tell, that's not the case, which I found to be bizarre.
Well, wouldn't they be more concerned about like ergonomics and those keyboards that have different shapes rather than like the clicks?
I mean, ergonomic keyboards are much better for your like actual ergonomic stuff than a mechanical keyboard, but they're not necessarily totally disjoint. Like, you can get ergonomic mechanical keyboards. Several people I work with have them, so.
Yeah, and it's just wild to me because I would have figured that that would have been a big market for mechanical keyboards. But, you know, if you know anything about writers, a lot of them, you know, you're writing because it's a passion, you know, and there's not necessarily a lot of money in writing. So the expendable income to pick up a keyboard that can be, you know, $60 at minimum is not necessarily important, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know. Software developers are also like
tech nerds,
and like you're enjoying the computery parts of it, and I feel like people who are writing are not necessarily enjoying the act of interacting with the computer so much as the act of like actually writing.
Yeah, and like I could be totally off base here, but the little talking and little asking around that I did do kind of pointed to that, and like the overlap of, you know, keyboards and video games and you know, software developers, like, it's a very, you know, close overlap there. They're very adjacent to each other. Whereas writing and, you know, this very technological, you know, niche thing aren't as, you know, similar to each other.
Yeah. So I just want to say, recommendation, we've been saying mechanical keyboards are expensive. It really depends on your definition of expensive, I guess. Most mechanical keyboards are between $80 and $130 for like a normal one, and they can get a lot more expensive than that if you want to be crazy. Yeah. I own two Vortex keyboards, the Poker and the Race, and they're both great. They're small, 60 or 70% keyboards, if you're into that thing.
Yeah, I've got a full-sized DOS keyboard with cherry browns in it, like I've been saying. I like it a lot. I mean, it's a
that's your cookie cutter, Scott. Cookie cutter, yeah. Mechanical keyboard, like the DOS Ultimate.
Cookie cutter, very, yeah, very, keyboard. Very much so. It does have a set of custom keycaps. Thank you, Scott, for buying that for me for Christmas. They're very pretty. They match my computer. And it's about to go to work. I was really hoping. I ordered a new mechanical keyboard with cherry reds in it, hoping that it would come in time because I've been wanting one for a while. I was hoping I would be able to get some you know, play time with it on Overwatch or something before we started, but Amazon decided I didn't need it today, so I'm getting it this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Only time will tell if you still have hands.
Yeah, they'll fall off, I think. I don't know. You guys want to... Oh, there's one more thing I want to say about writers. I thought this was a very interesting thing, and it'll lead us very well into our next topic. So have you guys seen there's like typewriters, like electric typewriters that are geared towards writers who don't want to be distracted by the internet? And so like they are connected to the internet, so they'll like upload your document to Drive or to Dropbox or something. But what they will what they don't have is like internet browsers or literally anything other than a text processor. And I don't know, there's a couple of these. There's like,
but you can see your words, right?
Yeah, you can see your words. Yeah, it's you know, it's a text editor that okay. just, and that's all it is, with a keyboard attached. And it's really funny to me, and it's really cool because like there's some that are very portable, have like a much more like laptop style keyboard with the membranes and stuff. And there's some models that have like a full size mechanical keyboard that isn't as portable. So I don't know. I just thought it was very interesting that this like. The concept of the typewriter is still around, and we're applying these modern day technological advancements or you know, not even advancements, just pieces of technology to this very old piece of technology.
I've never seen these. That sounds fucking great. Like when I actually want to do work, because like I've been distracted all day, I usually like unplug one of my monitors full screen and increase my font size to like 20 on my big monitor. And then like ignore everything else. So like I full screen covers up like even the taskbar at the bottom on my Mac. So I can't see messages, can't see anything. All I can see is code. And I usually, there's like a mode in my text editor that disables everything except like the one thing you're looking at. So I have like a focus mode that all it has is text in front of me. That way I can't get distracted.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's a good move.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to take a like 5 minute break and
yeah.
We'll, you know,
talk
just...
about,
yeah. Talk about some keyboard layouts afterwards.
All right, sounds good. I need to go wash my face.
I need to go make a sandwich.
And make a sandwich.
With your face?
No. Nope.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. That was fun.
Actually, give me 90 seconds, perhaps.
All right, hold up. Let me get my phone. It's plugged in. Never mind. Quick, let's badmouth Caitlin while she's away.
Caitlin thinks it only takes 90 seconds to make a sandwich.
Caitlin thinks it only takes 90 seconds to wash her face with a sandwich.
Caitlin washes her face with a sandwich.
Caitlin puts her face on a sandwich and then eats the sandwich.
Caitlin eats faces.
Caitlin's sandwich eats people.
Caitlin's sandwich is people.
Caitlin eats sandwiches. This is a good bit. I like this one. This is fun.
Okay, sorry.
How many sandwiches did you make?
Fuck. I made only 2 sandwiches.
All right, Scott, rock, paper, scissors, you for it.
Rock, paper, ready? Scissors, paper, bang.
Scissors, scissors. Oh, fuck.
One of them was mayonnaise and olives.
What the fuck?
That's gotta be euphemism.
No way it's not. What was the second sandwich?
The other sandwich that I made was pecans. More olives.
Oh, no. Don't like pecans. This. So far, bad.
Cranberries. And stuffing.
Hey, that's not a sandwich. If you had put turkey on there, I'd be like, oh, a fun Thanksgiving-themed sandwich. That sounds interesting. But you didn't. Nope. But you didn't.
No, I did not.
Did you have turkey? You don't eat turkey. You're vegetarian.
Well, yeah.
How are you?
I'm a pretty bad vegetarian these days. I'll get back on it.
Go around punching little kids. Bad vegetarian.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. I still only eat vegetarian things. I just also got really mean. No, I eat chicken like every other day, which, I mean, I shouldn't, but I eat the food that my grandparents prepare for me because I've been super fucking busy.
Yeah, it happens. All right, y'all ready to fuck it up?
Fuck it up.
Yeah, and then we'll go back to the podcast. Clickety-clack, that shit's whack.
Clickety-clack.
That shit's whack.
Fuck, wait, no, let me try
again. You got it. Here you go.
Clickety-clack. Hey, we're back with more stuff about keyboards.
All right, that was fun. I didn't expect that. That's a good one.
I was so proud of myself. I was like, this will be mildly amusing.
That's good. Okay. All right, so we're done with keyboards. Throw it in the dumpster, everybody. Take your keyboard that you just bought on our recommendation. All right, you bought,
okay,
you take,
I got
you
it.
Have dumpster. It? Got it? Dumpster.
Yep.
Throw it in the dumpster.
Dumpstered.
Hold up, I got it. There we go. Do mine in the dumpster, too. Don't need it. Unfortunately, that is my only keyboard, so not good. Anyways, so now that you've done that, let's talk about them, about what we just threw in the dumpster.
Oh, can I pull it out of the dumpster so I can look at its layout?
No.
No, you have to look at a picture. Okay. Did you take a picture first? I'm sorry, I didn't say to take a picture first.
You didn't. I don't have one.
Shit. All right, whatever. So I want you to imagine your keyboard, okay? You can't look at it because it's in the dumpster.
Okay.
All right. And the first, like if you're reading left to right, top to bottom, okay, you know, like you would a book. The first was a 6 letters of your keyboard. Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
The first 6 letters of mine are E-S-C-F-1-1-X.
I'll kill you.
What kind of... What?
We'll get there, actually. Well, so Scott's...
did he say X like 3 times in there?
E-S-C-F-1-1-X.
He's
Why are there so
joke?
Many ones?
Because the F1 key on my keyboard also has a function for 1X. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, he's being an asshole.
Oh my god.
He's That's also 7 letters. And two, this 5 letters.
One isn't
numbers.
A letter. Anyways.
Oh my god, I get it now.
There we go. Alright, I'm going to take this from the top because I didn't like that joke.
It took me way too long to get it and it wasn't that funny.
No, it really wasn't. So if you look at your keyboard, the first 6 letters on it that are actually, you know, to type for letters are Q-W-E-R-T-Y. And if you were to say that in, say, some sort of word form, you'd spell the word QWERTY. And this is a traditional keyboard. If you aren't using a QWERTY keyboard, then you know this already. QWERTY keyboards are your traditional keyboard layout, or at least here in the States, it's the traditional keyboard layout. And they actually have a lot of really interesting history behind them. History that means that the keyboard layout we're using is obsolete, but is still historically relevant. So the QWERTY keyboard was originally developed by a man named Christopher Latham Scholes, who was a newspaper editor from Kenosha, Wisconsin. There was a problem with typewriters during that day, specifically a style of typewriter called the upstroke typewriter. And what the phrase upstroke means doesn't really matter. All that really matters in that typewriter is that if you were typing and you hit two letters that were situated close to each other on the keyboard in rapid succession or at the same time, then the little levers that would pop up and actually press, you know, press the letter onto the paper would hit each other and jam. Okay. And that was a huge problem for typists. Like, you know, they'd hit the letters and then they'd have to take apart the typewriter, undo the jam, you know, make sure that they're, what they were typing didn't get messed up, and then put it all back together and continue typing.
And put the jam on some bread.
Put the jam on some bread, and then put the bread with some turkey or something. I don't know, maybe some stuffing. Cranberries. Yeah.
That's where all jam comes from, yeah.
Yeah. The QWERTY keyboard, the whole idea behind it, was to take two-letter pairings that were very common in the English language and separate them. Because typists were spending a lot of time undoing these jams because the layouts that were used prior to QWERTY being developed were essentially alphabetical, just left to right, top to bottom, just A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way down, okay? And so the QWERTY keyboard, like I said, was designed to prevent this, like, two-letter, you know, combination problem. It began its development in 1867 and took all the way through to 1873. So that's like a, what, six-year period that had, you know, plenty of iterations going across it to develop this new style of keyboard. The original design was the letters A through M on the bottom row and the letters N through Z on the top row, reading left to right for both rows. You'll notice that's only two rows as opposed to the four rows that's on the QWERTY keyboard. Eventually, there were a couple of iterations. So first, the A to M row was left the same, and they reversed the N to Z row. So I don't know what the idea behind that was. I think this was just sort of a trial and error situation. Eventually, there were some, you know, more in-depth studies put into what sort of letter pairings they should separate and how they should do that. And eventually they settled on something that was roughly the QWERTY keyboard. There were a couple of notable differences, though. For example, the only numbers on the keyboard were numbers 2 through 9, because the numbers 1 and 0 you could replace with a lowercase l and a capital O. So you didn't need to use those two. Yep.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. You want to know another weird one?
Yes.
There were no colons, semicolons, or exclamation points, because what you could do is you could... you could type a character, so let's say a comma, okay, and then you would hit backspace and you would type a quotation mark, and that would be a semicolon, because you would have put two characters in the same place that create the character you're actually looking to do. So this happened for colons, semicolons, and exclamation points.
What, did you an L and a period?
Yeah, I think so. I do think that's the way they did it. So that's sort of the just a couple of interesting things about the QWERTY keyboard. I think that's really cool.
About the QWERTY typewriter keyboard.
Correct. The QWERTY keyboard layout.
Yeah.
That's an important distinction, is that we're not talking about actual keyboards yet. We're still talking about typewriters, and specifically what are called upstroke typewriters, which the meaning behind that isn't important. As far as I understand, though, it's just like the cheaper version of the typewriter to make, or the easier to manufacture one.
The rubber dome version of a typewriter.
The rubber dome version of a typewriter.
Casual typewriter.
As opposed to, you know, the downstroke or front stroke typewriters, which, you know, if you're a real typewriting enthusiast, like, those are the ones you want.
Yeah. These are the breath stroke typewriters, in case you need to, you know, type while you're underwater.
Mm-hmm. You're killing me.
Good. I hope you die.
Oh, no.
All right.
A dark twist on this week's podcast.
So that's the historical relevance of the QWERTY keyboard, or the QWERTY keyboard layout. And you'll notice that I didn't say literally anything about actual typing speed or typing ergonomics. It's all about making the mechanical processes of a typewriter, and a specific type of typewriter at that, function in a better way. Okay, so we don't use typewriters anymore, other than those fancy typewriters I was talking about earlier. We don't use typewriters. Okay, so why in the hell are we using QWERTY? Okay, and the reason for that is because it's just the default now. It is so widespread and standard that in American schools, it's just taught QWERTY. There's really, if you ask a normal person who isn't a semi-enthusiast like myself or Scott, they will tell you, what are you talking about? It's probably the only other alternative is the alphabetical order. You know, like nobody knows about alternative keyboard layouts. And so
the big propaganda QWERTY campaign. I mean, there was some marketing QWERTY reasons, right? Like, they came up with this because it made their typewriters better, so they pushed for this to be the default, and now it is because they fucking won.
Whoa, wait. So is the thing of we made up a QWERTY to slow people down, that's wrong? We were just putting letters that are frequently used together further apart so they don't jam? It isn't, you're typing too fast, you're wearing out the keyboard, we've got to put...
No, that's like anti-QWERTY propaganda. That's like, yeah, they have a shitty typewriter and they're making up for it with the layout, which is fucking true, but it's not like technically slowing you down. Yeah. It is just designed not to put jammy together.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, while in a sense it may slow you down just like a hair because the letters that you're hitting in succession are further apart, what is actually interesting about the QWERTY layout as opposed to an alphabetical layout is that because commonly hit letter pairs are separated from each other, they're actually often on opposite hands, which increases your speed a little bit. Because as you hit another letter, you can already begin to be hitting the next letter before your other hand recovers from hitting the previous letter. Yeah. And so it's just like QWERTY, not by design, but by accident, made for slightly faster typing.
Huh.
So, that's all I have to say about QWERTY. Everything supports it, I will say, in terms of operating systems, Windows, Mac, Linux,
iOS,
literally everything supports it. One thing that is bad about QWERTY is that there's no provisions for other languages. It is entirely an English-based keyword, and so in the States, it's not a huge problem. But any diacritical marks on Latin characters, like an accent or an umlaut or a tilde or something, that input is entirely operating system dependent. So you have to know like the special codes to, you know, get an A with an accent or an O with an umlaut. You have to know those codes, which, you know, as opposed to having, you know, just one button press to get it, you would have like five. You'd have to hit like Alt and then put in a 5-digit code and then let go of Alt and then you get a character output.
Yeah. I mean, there are better shortcuts for that on most keyboards, and there are definitely also specific keyboards for people who type in different languages. Like,
yeah, but in terms of the limitations, in terms of the limitations of QWERTY, that's a big one.
Yeah,
there are alternative like QWERTY based keyboards in European countries because they also use Latin characters. And so there's just like a few extra keys added onto QWERTY or something like that, or, you know, just slight modifications in countries like, I know Germany has one in particular that they like to use.
Yeah. We can talk about, I'm going to start talking about other keyboard layouts. So we talked about QWERTY and how it was designed because typewriters are shitty and has this interesting property a bit that because typewriters are shitty, now you're hitting things with different hands. Dvorak was also designed, so it was a keyboard layout that's non-alphabetical, designed by Dr. August Dvorak, and apparently his brother-in-law. This was much later than QWERTY. It's in the 1930s instead of, what did you say, like 1800s?
1870s. Yeah, so it's like, what, 60, 70 years later.
But it is pretty much like, if you ask somebody, like, hey, what's another layout that's not QWERTY? And they're not like, huh, what the fuck do you mean? They'll say Dvorak or maybe Colmac, which is...
I have heard of Dvorak.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of the other one.
It's actually really similar to Dvorak. They basically took Dvorak and then reverse engineered it to basically take the most improvements but keep it kind of similar to QWERTY, is how I've heard it described. I cannot type in Colmac. I can type in Dvorak, so I'm trying to bring my personal experience here. I can type relatively okay in Dvorak. That being said, it's still pretty popular. It is an official standard layout. Apparently, ANSI, the American National Standards Institute, has ratified this in the 80s, so it's an official keyboard layout. You can get it on Windows pretty easily. Like, if I press Control and Shift, I switch to Dvorak on Windows. I have a hotkey that does it on Mac, and, well, I don't have a hotkey on Mac. My Mac keyboard, the one I use with my Mac, actually has a button on the keyboard that switches it in hardware.
Oh, neat.
I have a key on Linux that can do it. It is designed such that it makes kind of sense to learn. So if you look at a QWERTY keyboard, none of the characters have any relation to where they are, specifically to where, like, what the keys on the home row are. So the home row is basically where you, if you were taught to type, it's where you put your four fingers on both hands, ASDF, JKL, semicolon. Like, why is semicolon such an important key that it deserves where your pinky normally goes on your right hand? Makes no sense, right? Dvorak, you basically have vowels on your left-hand home row and common consonants on your right-hand home row. So you have, like, oh god, I can't do this on the spot. I can't do this on the spot.
I believe you.
A-O-E-U on your left hand, and then, like, H-T-N-S on your right hand. And then the middle keys are D and I, so on and so forth. So you actually have a character on your right hand pinky that's really common. T, like the most common letter, one of the most common letters, is on your middle finger, and the other common letter E is on your other middle finger. So it makes sense. One interesting side effect is that you are mostly focused on the home row when you're typing. The downside of that is, like, your hands are always typing things that are close together. So, like, I haven't gotten up to the point where, like, I'm more comfortable typing Dvorak for long periods of time, because I feel like I'm actually using fingers that I'm not used to using a lot. Like, I use my pinky a lot more in Dvorak because I learned how to type it, because it made sense. Like, oh, I just moved my pinky up one spot. When I'm typing to QWERTY, my hands kind of float and do dumb shit because I didn't learn how to type properly. So,
did you guys also have the, like, yellow, orange, whatever rubbery thing that covered the keys so you couldn't hunt and peck?
No, I just played a lot of video games.
Yeah, no, I did take a keyboarding class in middle school in, like, sixth grade. And honestly, like, I'm super glad that I did. Like, it taught me to touch type, and, like, I type fairly quickly now, you know, as opposed to people who don't touch type. Hunt and peck, that's the one.
I mean, very few people who have, like, a professional job using a computer all day can't at least moderately touch type. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but, like, my dad's definitely a professional typer, and he still uses, I think, three fingers, so.
Oh, I use three fingers on my right hand when I type QWERTY. But, like, by the time I was in a place where I could take a keyboarding class, I was already such a nerd that I could type, like, really fast.
Oh, this was, like, a mandatory subunit of elementary school. Fuck, what was it, like, language arts or something? I don't know. Weird. We could go to the computer lab sometimes, and for a while, it stopped being fun, and instead it started being, look at this orange thing, type.
Yeah, and Carter and I had the same upbringing in school, so.
You did. Yeah, so I am the outsider.
Yeah. Where were we? I can't.
Talking about Dvorak.
I don't know, so, sorry.
Dvorak does feel more natural when I'm typing. Like, I don't feel like I'm moving unnecessarily. But it does feel like I'm using my fingers in weird ways compared to QWERTY, because I'm just so used to it. For reference, I can type, like, 120 words per minute in QWERTY and, like, 70 or 80 in Dvorak now. So neither are, like, limiting factor in anything I do. Like, I never have the urgent need to type 100 fucking words per minute. So
sometimes your life just depends on it, you know? Sometimes somebody comes in with a cannon, points it at you and says, hey, you better type 100 words a minute. And it's like speed, but like the worst version of speed. You know, with the bus that goes very mm-hmm. fast? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that, but it way worse.
Go below.
Some people just come in with a nuclear bomb and say, please type in a valid TAR command.
That's a good XKCD joke. So, it's been interesting me reading about Dvorak and trying to understand, you know, like what the proponents say about it versus people who prefer QWERTY say about it. Back in the 30s, when Dvorak was initially being developed, there was a study in a school district teaching children to type in Dvorak, and they found that it took about a third of the time to teach children who had not learned typing before to type Dvorak as, you know, what they've experienced other children learning QWERTY. There have been subsequent studies since that really haven't shown the same results, but that one in the 30s was sort of what kicked off a small movement to adopt Dvorak back in the 30s and 40s, but it really never gained any traction just because QWERTY had such a strong hold on the, I don't know if you could call it a market.
It's just, it's got so much weight behind it. Like, it's hard to teach those new keyboard layouts. If you're passionate about keyboards for some reason, or you just think this is kind of cool, you can learn Dvorak in like a couple of days and type like 50 words from it. It's not hard. It's just you have to retrain your brain, and it's insanely frustrating to do so. Like, super annoying. The reason why I don't type Dvorak more, one is because I thought it would be like more comfortable to type on, and I found that was not true. And I was just kind of curious, as somebody who knows they're gonna have to type for the rest of their life. And two, I learned how to type well because I did a bunch of tutorial stuff, but I can't remember how to do hotkeys, because hotkeys, I don't think of like Control C anymore or Control V. Mm-hmm. I just press that location on the keyboard, which is now in a different spot for Dvorak. So I'd have to go remap all my hotkeys.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. I had never thought about that because, like, you know, touch typing in QWERTY, you don't think about where the keys are. You just do it.
Yes.
You know?
And this is not like a super big problem for like Control C and Control V, because to be honest, I actually do think Control C. This is mostly like I use Vim, and I cannot use Vim in Dvorak because the keys are in the same
imagine.
Spot.
Oh my god. Vim is a text editor?
Yes.
I was gonna say, I don't do this.
Yeah, it's like entirely reliant on hotkeys.
It basically, your default mode is not you entering text. Like in Word, if you type, text comes out. The default mode in Vim is like all, like if you press J, that is down, and K is up. So it's like default hotkeys, and you press a key to start typing in text. And they are all mapped for a QWERTY layout. Like the movement keys are J, K for up and down, your right hand first two fingers, and then left and right are H and L, because dumb shit, why it's H and not. Anyways, yes, it's very mapped to QWERTY layout to make sense. You know, like adding text in is either I or A, both also very close to home row, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
all right.
trying to relearn how you use not just typing, but also regular programs, very hard. I will say that most games don't have this problem because they use different input methods. Like in Overwatch, if I switch to Dvorak on accident, the keys that are in the place that a QWERTY keyboard says W, A, S, and D function the same. It's actually kind of funny because Overwatch, like the HUD will change, and it'll say like
oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
instead of I don't know, what's an example of a key that normally has
W, E
or Q, and yeah, Q and E will become like period and so on and so forth, because the period is so actually up in the period and quotation mark and stuff are all on the top left in Dvorak.
All right, cool, man, that's really interesting. I don't think PUBG probably.
No, PUBG
has that
does not do this. When I
yeah, they're not very smart.
Dvorak,
huh?
And PUBG, I end up throwing grenades.
oh, that's good.
I don't know why, because I don't think G is that close. It's like G is where U is, I think. I have to start Who typing knows? To figure it out.
All right, let's get out of here. I think we've said plenty.
You think you've said plenty, huh?
Yeah,
we've said quarter.
What's he doing here?
Definitely said QWERTY enough.
Definitely. All right. I'll escort us out of the building.
Take me home, country roads.
Take me home tonight.
Not the song I was referencing, but I appreciate the energy.
Country roads, take me home
tonight
to the place I belong.
All right, hurry up. I now have another Audacity project I have to work on. It's that one.
What's the tonight? Is it the...
Take me home tonight?
Black Eyed Peas or something? I don't know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah. Let's leave.
No, not fun.
Yeah, this has not been fun. Let's get out of here.
All right. Thank you so much for once again joining us at our table. I actually really did enjoy this. Like, I was a little bit skeptical when you guys were first, like, mechanical keyboards, but this was a fun time. You can find us on Facebook and Tumblr at Brought to the Table, and on Twitter at the Twitter user tag at To the Table Pod. Please tweet us your topic ideas, and we might use it, or we might just talk about you. Please email us. We love to hear from you guys. And also feel free to submit things that you enjoy to our Gmail account at brought to the table@gmail.com. Please do subscribe to whatever podcatcher, podfeeder,
bird catcher,
pod birds that you use to download our episodes, and also leave a review. Even if it's just leaving a review with that bird, he will take it and tell his bird friends. Yeah, that more of them.
Eventually, they'll get to Kevin, and then Kevin will tell us.
Yeah, and then we'll get to hear the nice thing that you said, and we'll feel good about ourselves.
Or it'll be me, and we're just gonna.
And then we'll feel.
We'll have Kevin bring a micro SD card that just has hate mail on it straight to your door.
Oh well, that just sounds like we're heading to an arms race.
We'll have Kevin execute some microtransactions to pay a hitman to come beat you up.
Yeah, see, arms race. I don't like this.
No, it's fine. Kevin doesn't have arms. He's a bird. It's true.
Wings race?
Does have legs, though. Never
skip leg
day.
Big, beefy legs.
I don't like the vision of a pigeon with just big, muscly legs.
All right, we're out of here.
Sorry, that's Kevin.
We're done.
This audio poison has actually killed me.
Yep. Thank you for coming to our table.
Jump the gun
table.
Over there, huh?
Yeah,
thank
Hawaiian
you for coming
pizza.
To our Hawaiian table.
Thank you for coming to our pizza table. Goodbye.
Hawaiian pizza.
I'm not saying it.